Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. This is a special edition of the Voice of Destiny Show, Couples for Destiny. And I want to welcome my co-host, Juanita Harris. How are you doing this morning, Juanita?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. And I'd like to welcome again our guests, Rick and Liz Kendall. And as we talk about oneness of marriage, we want to welcome them back to talk about a sub mentioned in the previous program.
He was talking about the second gear, that how many times couples come to a place in their marriage where they think it's time for a divorce because what came first has played out, when they're not realizing that God has something new that he wants to do and that process. And so, Apostle Rick and Liz, will you please tell us about recognizing the second gear, and how does somebody move from one to two?
I'll start off with this part of it, and that is that, you know, as I'm kind of comparing it to an automobile, in fact, most people have had automatic transmissions so long, they think they don't even know what gears are, you know.
Mm-hmm. The, yeah.
Well, back in the olden days, there was, you actually had to shift the gears yourself. But this analogy that when you go from first gear to second gear, you have to, of course, press the clutch, and then it takes a lot of oil for the gears to change. Actually, a marriage in first gear, it doesn't really move that fast. It just gets you going. So
yeah,
a lot of people experience their marriage just getting going, but then they think it plays out, and they start hearing all this grinding. And the grinding is the gears that are saying, please shift us, change us. Mm. So you don't really recognize how beautiful a marriage can move until you get into second gear, and you go, wow, we're moving now.
That has a lot to do with the changes in the family. For instance, when the kid comes, in our case, we didn't have children until we were married 9 years, but most couples had them before that. And I think that mm-hmm. changes the canvas, you know, the picture. It changes everything when you have the children. You were talking about, mm-hmm. you know, your children are grown now, and they're just waiting mm-hmm. for the grandchildren to come along. The grandchildren are a whole different
Wow. Well, I think, doesn't it take a commitment to that oneness, that covenant oneness, that it's not a contractual relationship where you give 50 and I give 50. No, it's a 100% life commitment that everyone gives, because, you know, when those gears need to shift, the process, the pain, the stripes that you can endure going from one gear to the next can only be sustained under the context of a covenant relationship, not a contractual. And we know most people make contracts so you can get out of them, so you can break them, so you can take advantage of the other person. But this contract of covenant relationship, this oneness, is not simply a relationship between the man and the woman. It's the man and the woman and God. He is the third person, you know, in that relationship that you're all committed to. And I think a lot of times the things that people look forward into marriage could be the things that actually can challenge the marriage. Because I remember my parents, who were married for 28 years, and both of my mother and father had said, you know, they had a great marriage when they were poor. It was when they got wealthy that they had distractions. And so I think it's insightful for us to understand, all of us, you know, that are here on the show, you know, to talk about, you know, that commitment and to deal with those distractions. The children can be a distraction. The wealth can be a distraction. The influence can be a distraction, not just the difficult things, but even the good things that happen.
Well, you know, when you say covenant, and that's exactly what it is, when we're separated, mm-hmm. we didn't have any relationships with anybody else. You know, because it was that covenant. And so when we came back together, it was because we had a covenant. We had some difficulties because, you know, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. There's no doubt about it. But it's that covenant was what kept us together. But you were going to say something.
Well, you know, I think one of the, also understandable, but it's still a mistake that is perceived when people get married, is that it's about them.
Wow.
It's about them. It's about the seed.
Mm, yeah.
And when I say seed, that of course can include and basically centers on the children, the physical children, but it's the seed of purpose for why they were brought together in the first place. You know, and even if they don't have children, they still have the seed of that team that God brought together,
yes,
that is not about them. It's about the kingdom. It's about the purpose of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so,
I believe that in the beginning, many people have the big wedding and it's a big party, mm-hmm, and a big show. And after all the excitement is gone, then they don't know what to do with themselves because,
mm-hmm,
they haven't, mm-hmm, established that purpose in,
mm-hmm,
the very,
yes,
before they get married. They haven't established that purpose or that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And many times each person doesn't even know what the other person's vision or purpose is. And so,
mm-hmm,
they are struggling against each other because, mm-hmm, like you said, I think it's about me, you know, and I know what I want and where I want to go, and you're just along for the ride. And I like your analogy of the gears, and I think about, you know, if you don't put oil in your car or you don't get your oil changed, then your engine is going to stop. It's going to be full of dirt and sludge, and it's going to stop. It's
right.
Clean oil. And we need something new, you know, in our marriage to keep us fresh. You know, and if we're not doing anything new, if we're not thinking forward and we're doing the same thing, I think of my parents' marriage. As an adult, I could think back on, well, why did that fail so horribly? And part of it was that my mother never changed. She was the same over all the years. She was the same. She didn't grow in anything on her own. As my father grew, he left her behind.
Aww.
And many times we have to each be growing before we can come together and grow together. We each need to be growing in some area of our life. We need to be growing.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the tragic thing. That if you follow it, it makes total sense, and that is that when a person thinks, well, they don't realize it was just first gear playing out, they think the marriage is over. Generally what they do is then they marry somebody else,
mm-hmm,
and they're ready to go into second gear with a new person who's still in first.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so what they do is they bring all of their former marriage into the next marriage, and it fails.
Yeah.
Because they never understood that it wasn't about changing partners, it was about changing mindset.
Yes.
Wow. Well, can we take a destiny break right there? Because I think that what we should talk about is the fact that a lot of people don't know what their purpose is as an individual. So they don't understand themselves, they don't understand the other person, but we all realize that, you know, a friend of mine says that when you discover your why, God will show you how. And a lot of times couples don't know how to move into second gear because they don't understand their why. So let's speak on that when we get back about how, as an individual and as a couple, we can come into identifying what that why is. We'll be right back.
Now, I don't want to lose the time that we have.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show, a special edition of Voice of Destiny, Couples for Destiny. My co-host is Juanita Harris, and our guest today is Apostle Rick and Liz Kendall, and we've been talking about the power of oneness, and we've been discussing the reality that in the context of a marriage, the two become one, but each two must understand their purpose so they can understand the purpose of the couple, the identity of the couple, because once a man and a woman come together, a third personality gets created called the couple, and that couple has a purpose for which God brought it together. How do we, my guest, you know, my friends here, how do we understand and detect what that purpose is so that we can decide on a direction called vision as a couple?
Well, you know, I think my mind goes back to what God said to Adam and Eve. You know, they were the very first examples of what you could say what a kingdom marriage should look like in the sense of, I mean, before they fell.
The model.
What he said to them was, he said, here's what it's about. Be fruitful and multiply and take dominion. So they're clear. Their purpose was made, or their vision was made very clear by God. He was really saying, it's not about you, Adam, and it's not about you, Eve. It's about what you're going to produce ahead of you. And and a person could say, well, yeah, well, then what's in it for me? What's in it for you is the joy of knowing your purpose.
Yeah.
And then your purpose fulfills you because it's not about you. It's about what you're going to produce to the world.
Yeah.
And I think that when couples get into I've actually had, and I'm sure you, both of you who have counseled people, as Liz and I have, I ask them right off, I say, why do you want to marry her? And usually the guy goes, oh, she makes me happy. and that's true. And the same with the girl, you want to marry him? Oh, he just makes me so happy. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help us. Because what's going to happen when they make each other happy? You can't make anybody. The answer should be, I want to help her to produce her purpose in the earth. I want to produce his purpose. I want to help him. Because in that dynamic of the couple becoming one, it's about that teamwork to fulfill the other one's destiny. And then their destiny is by producing a generation beyond them.
Wow. I mean, this is really important that we understand the source of our vision comes from purpose. And when we as a husband and wife understand that we have a purpose, a collaborative purpose of empowering the other to be, do, and have what God's destined for them, so we together can accomplish that reason, that logic, that inspiration, that psychology behind God, the Godhead, in drawing us into the synergy where we are understand that two are better than one. I could have, as a single person, pursued a course of life and accomplished some things, but it will not equal what it will equal when we two together labor together to accomplish what it is that God wants us to accomplish as a team. And so with this insight about purpose and identifying, are there things, practical things, that you guys have done to remind yourself, to make it formal? Well, what this is our purpose, to keep us in memory of what that reason was that God has called us to.
You know, we talk a lot over coffee, right, in our living room or when we go out, and we constantly, you know, remind ourselves. A lot of things that it reminds us as a memorial kind of thing, that we remember things, and we talk about them, and we expound together. I think communication is one of the greatest, the weapon that the enemy uses is usually communication to people. But also communication can be used, it's also a kingdom call. When we communicate to each other, hey, something reminds me of something we did, and we bring it up, and we share and how we have grown, and you know, especially with the grandchildren. Oh, my goodness, waiting for grandchildren.
Oh, don't get us started on that.
I'm jealous. My kids don't have any kids yet, but I'm jealous, so I'll get over it.
You know what? Knowing you, Dr. Hoff, you are going to be such a spoiler.
Oh, my goodness. And I don't know if Sister Juanita has any grandchildren, but my goodness, you do.
Yes, she does. And I'm jealous of all of you guys.
Actually, my grandchildren with me. My grandchildren and daughter live with me. That's a whole nother show.
Well, look, I tell my kids all the time, my grandfather clock is ticking. Somebody needs to get married. But I appreciate it. It's a part of my future vision. And they laugh at me when I'm praying for their spouses and my grandchildren. And they're like rolling their eyes like, Dad, you're just shameless. But, you know, it's a promise that I'm holding me going to. That my grandchildren will come together out of these covenant unions and expand the vision that God has given me and merely to raise up lieutenants and generals. We did the first generation. It's our kids' job to do the second generation. But I think having these kind of visions of futures, or future visions beyond our husband and wife relationship, understanding that the vision of our marriage and raising kids, that it's not just our family. We're talking about other people's families. With the way that we're using, and when we talk about kingdom culture, it is the sway and the way that we approach life that always attaches us to the mandate of seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all the things that we have need of will be added to us. So one of the things I would love to talk about is, how do you guys learn to manage the resources? One of the greatest challenges for a marriage is, how do we manage the time? How do we handle the money? How do we handle the assets? Because this is a major source of dividing people in the state of marriage in America and the world, that they're not able to collaborate on that. So we'll take a break here, and let's come back and talk about what are some of the best approaches. Because I know Juanita and I have talked about this, where she was sharing that her husband was a very generous man, but that generosity came with the limitation where he wasn't as tight with the penny as she was. And so let's talk when we come back about how do a couple, in discovering their purpose, recognizing their vision, they have to set priorities now. Since this is our purpose, this is our vision, how do we manage those domestic resources and be what God wants us to be? We'll be right back.
And God loses love. If you lose your love, and I lose my love, and God up above will lose his love.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold, by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at YICenter.com. That's YICenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you're listening to a special edition of the Voice of Destiny Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Daniel Hopped, and my co-host is Minister Juanita Harris. And our guest again today is Apostle Rick and Liz Kendall, the leaders of Rick Kendall Ministries. And the goal is the Body of Christ Network, that your apostolic work that you guys are doing to help empower and mentor visionaries and ministry leaders to carry out their great work. Can you let us know how our listeners can connect with you before we continue with more of our conversation on managing the resources of the oneness of the couple? I want our listeners, Rick and Liz, to be able to connect with you guys. So if you can let us know how to do that, I appreciate it.
Sure. Our websites are www.rickkendall.org. And my kids tell me I don't have to say www, but I do it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, yeah.
And then also our network is globalembassynetwork.com. And the email, I would love for them to feel like they could email us, is drrickkendall@outlook.com.
Excellent. And so we were talking about the resources. You know, once you have vision, then you have to set priorities. And so how have you guys learned to do that over the years in your marriage, about setting the time priorities, the financial priorities, the asset priorities to carry out your vision?
Well, I'll start off with this, that one thing, like my wife just said to me, she said, we're still working on that. We all are.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to the financial part, one thing that we begin to realize is one of the greatest pressures, and you both know as you do counseling with marriage, is finances. Most fights and arguments are over the finances. But I come to understand, in fact, 2 or 3 years ago, God began to reveal to us that the kingdom has an economy, and the kingdom of God, the economy of the kingdom, has never, ever had a recession and has absolutely no debt. But we, in the system of the world, in fact, even in ministry, operate so much from a debt mindset.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it kind of carries over into everything. We have mortgages, we have loans, and again, I want to say to you that if someone has a loan or a mortgage, we're not saying that they are doing wrong things. We're just saying it begins with a mindset, because we can believe, isn't it interesting, we can believe that Jesus set us free from the debt of sin, but we don't understand that he also wants to set us free from the debt of debt. And so a lot of marriages go through this where we're always owing something. We're always getting behind. We're paying, for the past with today's finances. So what God brought Liz and I through was we're just nearly totally out of debt, debt-free, and we've
Praise
got a
God.
Debt-free mindset. And that has brought a lot of freedom that makes a big difference.
But let me say, too, that with that came a lot of sacrifice, because we had things before that we were really basically, they weren't ours. they were on time, you know. So we don't have any of that now. We just have a few things that we catch up with from before. And again, there's the catch up to the past. But we're almost with that. And that, to me, it solves a lot of the problem, even though we are different and he's more, you know, he casts his bread in the water all the time. He's just very giving, and it's precious, you know. I'm more calculated, you know. I kind of want to have a budget and do this. So we have learned to bring that together, our strengths together, and learn strengths when we need, you know, to make a point. For instance, you know, honey, remember, this is kind of your weakness, so let me suggest this, you know. And all in communication, I think it's important to learn each other's strengths and work from there.
And it takes maturity on behalf of the couple to maintain a kingdom culture mindset about the finances, because you'll find yourself being tempted wanting to keep up with the Joneses. I know when we relocated here to Colorado, the Lord did some supernatural things to put us in some very palatial homes, you know. And then the Lord told us to move closer to Denver. And he says, I want you to move closer to Denver because your life is moving closer to that location, but I want you to change the way you're living. I want you to be more humble. And I was like, we can't invite anybody over if we move in that place, you know, living where we were before, you know. But, you know, I realized that it goes back that it's not about us, it's about him. And couples really got to recognize when we're talking about gear two, sometime in gear two, economics change, the way we approach, the way we invest, the way we manage. In gear two, those things have to be different. And being able to accept that season of change and transformation is really important for a couple to be able to discern in the marriage, because a lot of times we put ourselves under financial pressures that's unnecessary. When we're trying to stay true to who God's called us to be, it's more clear, more easier to make those choices.
Yes, it is.
Let me say this, too. You know, I think that it's important for us to understand that debt does not begin with money, and debt doesn't even begin with finances, but it begins with a mindset. For example, one of the things we like to tell people is that a key to growing together is not to continue to bring up the mistakes of the past.
Wow.
We can learn from the mistakes of the past, and we need to be mindful of what we learned from that.
Yes.
But we can't keep bringing, because what that is, that's a debt.
Yeah.
It's a debt that says, you know, remember, I got this on you from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why people bring up the mistakes of the past in a marriage so often is because they're afraid it's going to be repeated in the future.
Right.
So that is financial, but that's a debt that becomes an economy of a household.
Yeah.
And, you know, the scripture says that we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and the household. And the word household there in the Greek is oikonomia, meaning economy. So our household economy, even before it gets to the money, it's a mindset. And when we keep reminding each other of the past mistakes or problems, we're taking away from the deposit of our future.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a whole show in and of itself. Yes, that is so true. When I think about that, I think about my husband's mindset of growing up poor and not wanting to be poor. And I know many people that have that mindset. They don't ever want to be poor again. So the things that they do going forward are based on the poverty, and
that's right.
and they never get out of the cycle because they're thinking about where they came from or the past problem. That's very
mm-hmm.
good, Rick. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
we want to thank you guys for spending this valuable time with us to talk about the power, the potential, and the responsibility of oneness in marriage. I think one of the greatest adventures that we as visionaries and believers can engage in is building strong marriages. It would totally transform the culture in the next generation
yeah.
if we're able to build this institution of marriage that God invented. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for joining us again today on the special edition of the Voice of Destiny show. I want to remind you that the Voice of Destiny is available to you guys 24/7 at voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And I especially want to thank my co-host, Juanita Harris, Minister Juanita Harris, who's a great asset and contribution to the Voice of Destiny team. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Remember, today is a great day because it's the day the Lord has made for you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Hunt. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.